For tonight, I'm just going to continue from where we stopped the last time for our Bible study. We're looking at Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 to 45. And we focused on this part of the Bible for about six Fridays. This is our seventh one. And what we've been looking at is this portion of scripture and looking, basically having a wide view about, you know, these demonic spirits, the devil, where do they come from? What do they do? So that we have like a really good biblically based understanding of these things, and also the authority that God has given us as believers over these spirits, so that we're not, you know, terrorized by them and things like that. So today is the seventh installment, and I believe it's going to be kind of like the last part. Next week or next session, I'll do like a summary of all the parts that we've done so far. But today will be more or less kind of like the last part, and I'll do a summary next week. All right, let us pray. Our Father and our King, we thank you for bringing us together again tonight. Father, I'm asking that even as we go through this Bible study, give us knowledge and understanding that will help our lives as believers in Jesus' mighty name. Okay, so what we're looking at tonight is what I've called Your Spirit. So the name of the series is The Defeated Kingdom. And we've looked at a number of things. So we started off by looking at, who are these demonic spirits? Where did Satan come from? We looked at the fact that of how they possess people who are not born again. And the third part, which we looked at and which we're going to conclude today, is how these spirits try and access believers. So we said in the first one, they're trying to access us through our minds. We saw how that happens, or how that could happen. We saw how they try and access us through our emotions. Last time we saw how they try and access us through our bodies. Today, we're looking at how they try and access us through our spirits. Now, in terms of spirit, your spirit is the real you. It is the person, it is the actual you, the core of your being that you do not see. And that's the part that God communicates with. So you have your body, which you can see, like your physical body. You have your emotions. You can't see your emotions, but you can feel your emotions when you're sad, when you're happy. So that's your emotions. And your spirit is the real you inside of you that you can't see. So when I say spirit or your spirit, that's what I actually mean. All right, let's look at this portion of scripture. If you've got your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 to 45. Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 to 45. I'm going to read the NIV version, but whatever version you've got is fine. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept, clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and they leave there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That is how it will be for this wicked generation. So we see in this portion of scripture, Jesus was saying something here. He was describing a scenario of how these demonic spirits behave and how they think. In this instance, this demonic spirit, in quote, was seeing this person that he was going to live in as their house. And we looked at that quite extensively in, I think, the second or the third one, where we say, well, where we describe how these demonic spirits possess people who are not born again. So that's kind of like the background to that. So today we're looking at how these spirits try and access our spirits. Now, I will look at three sections here, but I'm just going to take us down what I'll call like a history lesson. Well, when I say a history lesson, I'll say more like an encyclopedia lesson. So what I'm saying is that I'll mention a number of scriptures, but I'm going to spend time trying to describe some real life scenarios of how these spirits try and access our spirit, so that we can really put it in context. Now, because I don't want us to just come to these Bible studies and we leave and we can't really see the relevance of the word of God to us. So I just want to try and merge the two. So today's going to be like a real encyclopedia of bits and pieces that we see in real life, but that we might not be aware of in this instance. So looking at three sections on the, how these spirits try and access our spirits. Now, the first one is that these demonic spirits, they try and influence us as believers to participate. Underline that word, participate. They try and get us to participate in practices that bring us in contact with demonic spirits. They try and get us to participate in things that bring us in contact with demonic spirits. Now, what does this mean? This means that there are certain things that one can be involved in or that one does, sometimes probably ignorantly, but in those instances, one is actually dealing directly with demonic spirits and one might not know it. I mean, I don't know any anyone who is born again, who is a believer, who would want to associate with demonic spirits. So I believe that for a lot of us who are born again, we come in contact with these spirits in, or we could participate with them, but from a point that, you know, it's kind of like from a point of ignorance, more or less. And we don't know that, you know, these things are actually, you know, demonic things because they're not too overt. But we'll go through some of those things. So they try and access our spirits as believers. They try and get us as believers to participate in things, like I said, that bring us in contact with demonic spirits. Now, let's turn to Deuteronomy Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 to 12. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 to 12. And I'll read. It says, "Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their sons or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or a spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these detestable practices, the Lord drove out the nations before you." Now, if we look at Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 6, Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 6, it says, "I will set my face against anyone who turns to mediums and spirits to prostitute themselves by following them." It says, "I will cut off that person from their people." Now, we see something quite interesting here. And what we see that is interesting is God describes anything that has to do with mediums, the occult. He actually really hates it. And he actually describes it as what I'll call like prostituting us, spiritual prostitution, because we're dealing with spirits that are not from God. And God absolutely doesn't like it at all. He hates it, particularly these demonic spirits. So we've read Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10 to 12, and we read Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 6. And God outlined a number of things there that constitute what he would call participation with demonic spirits in these activities. But like I said earlier, I'm gonna go on like an encyclopedic journey today. And I'm just gonna look at probably about, I've got a list here, about 9 things that we have seen around, and those things constitute participating in activities with demonic spirits. Amen. So we'll look at those things. So the first thing is this: going to a psychic or a clairvoyant or a fortune teller constitutes participating with demons. And now psychics are quite popular in England here. I remember when we went to visit my son at Brighton when he was at university, and we went to the beach side. The pier. And as we went to the pier, we were walking, and right on the pier by the side, I saw this little caravan. It seemed like something out of the 12th century. Very, you know, nicely done caravan, and it had on it visit psychic, know your future, stuff like that. And there were people there consulting with psychics. I remember there was a time I was driving to work somewhere, well, about 2 hours from Bristol here. And I was going past this very popular hotel. And the interesting thing is that in that hotel, there were signboards, there were signs outside the hotel. And I was really excited when I saw, you know, on that hotel, church service here, 10 o'clock or 10:30 on a Sunday. So there was a church meeting. I was like, you know, right on, that is fantastic. Now, a couple of weeks when I was passing through that same road, I looked at that hotel, and what did I see? I saw another sign just right in front of that hotel as well, saying, know your fortune, popular psychic coming here or is it 10 to 6 in the evening? And I've seen that all over England, all over the place. And I'm sure you probably have seen some of those before around. The Bible tells us that anyone who participates or visits a clairvoyant, a fortune teller, is participating in that. So I got a definition of what it means to be a clairvoyant or a fortune teller from online dictionary. It says, these are people who say they have the ability to predict the future. So if someone goes to clairvoyance, some people might say, some of these clairvoyances will claim that, oh, you can talk to your dead uncle. They can contact your dead uncle who you were so fond of, and you can, you know, pass on messages, and, you know, such a person will visit them and they will say, okay, let's just wait. Your uncle is speaking to me. And the funny thing about these guys is some of them will actually tell you things about your uncle or your auntie or someone that you knew that has passed away. Accurate information. How do they do these things? So it's like, oh, I remember, and I hope I'm not just going to over-talk in this, in this session. I remember there was a guy I worked with on one of the projects, one of the companies a long time ago. And this guy, not a Christian, he used to tell me that his wife was a fortune teller and a psychic. And he used to say, wow, that people will come and visit her and she'd be telling them about their things that have happened to them. And the people be like, how did you know? But these things are, should I say, these things are possible because these clairvoyances, these psychics are actually dealing with demonic spirits who are telling them about people, and they're now transmitting the information to these people. So it's very, very, very demonic. So that's one way that people participate with demonic spirits. So these demonic spirits try and make it like, oh, there's no big deal. You want to know your future, so on and so forth. And what they want to do is to get you and I to participate in these things. Now, a second one is, there's some witchcraft games that people can play. There's one very popular one in America. A lot of kids used to play it then. I don't know if they still play it now. It's called the Ouija board. And what's the Ouija board? It's like they called it like the spirit board or the talking board. And I remember that it became like quite a sensation in the States a while ago when I was much younger. And you'd have a lot of, you know, you'd have these teenagers gathered together innocently. And it's like, oh, let's do something exciting. And they gather and they have this Ouija board and they'll start doing the thing. And the thing will be, you know, talking back to them in terms of symbols. They'll be like, oh, this is exciting. And it became really popular. But what those kids were doing was they were actually interacting with devils. So there's some of these games that one plays and they have a supernatural aspect to them, but we don't know. And these things have an effect on us. I'll tell you what that is in a minute. So we have these witchcraft games that are available all over the place. There's some that if I mention that you probably would know them, but I don't want to spend too much time on that. One is actually participating with the devils. Now, the third thing is this. Another form of spiritism is when we participate, the third one, participate in what I call pagan festivals like Halloween. Halloween is quite popular and it's like 31st of October, or is it 30th of October? You have kids going around saying trick or treat or one of those things, and everybody, all the shops have these Halloween costumes. They have all these things, and so on and so forth. Now, where did Halloween come from? Let me, you know, put it in context so we can really know what I'm talking about. Well, I got a diff- well, I got these things written down. Now, Halloween is from a, I wrote it down here. It's traced back to a Gaelic festival. And this Gaelic festival was festival is called the Gaelic Festival of Samhain. Samhain. So it's like a really, really ancient festival, maybe for, from the 1400s. And it's when they used to have those festivals, they had a, it involved a lot of ceremonies. And these ceremonies were meant to connect the people with these, with spirits. And the people who practiced it then were the Celts. Now, that's C-E-L-T. You're, if you're originally from England, you're probably related to one of the Celts. And they call them like Celtics. So Celts are kind of like, they call them like ancient Britons, like, you know, 1400. And, you know, they were very, very superstitious in England then. Mega superstitious. So the Celts were the ones that used to organize these things. So Halloween now, as harmless as people try and make it seem, is very dangerous, because what it does is it brings the people who participate in it in contact with demonic spirits. I'm telling you, in contact with demonic spirits. You have people who they're asleep at night, and in their dreams they're harassed. There are people scratching them in their dreams. In fact, there are people, you know, scaring the daylight out of them. I mean, all these things are part of it. So participating in things like Halloween, they bring us in contact with demonic spirits, even as Christians. So we need to, you know, like stay away from it. Now, the fourth one, I'm mentioning nine things here. I said this is like more like of like an encyclopedic discussion today, and I'm just linking it back to the Bible so that we can see the reality that these things that these spirits use to contaminate people, they're alive and well in the 21st century. It's not something that happens in a forest somewhere in Africa or in the jungles of South America. No, it's present here, just next door to you as well. Now, the fourth thing that brings us in contact with demonic spirits and is quite popular is yoga. I'm sure people know yoga. Everybody knows yoga. They've made it so westernized where people take these positions and they say, relax, this will help you to relax your mind. It will help you to, you know, you've had a stressful day. Why don't you take a yoga position and just meditate deeply? Now, what's yoga? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. Now, yoga is this. It says, according to the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, the ultimate aim of yoga is to reach Kaivalya, which means emancipation or ultimate freedom. It says, this is the experience of one's innermost being or soul called Punusa. Then one becomes free from the chains of cause and effect, from karma, which ties us to continual reincarnation. Now, I just had to read that thing out. This sounds really mystic. But what I'm just saying is that yoga is part of Hinduism. And if you've looked at Hinduism as a, you know, religion, mostly practiced in India, yoga is a form, you know, like when we go to church and we do praise and worship and we're singing hymns and we're praising God. In the context of the Christian religion, I'll use our religion, praise and worship, singing hymns and all those things and all these songs, they're part of the worship of God. Do you understand what I mean? In the same way, yoga is part of the worship of some of the Hindu gods as well. So anyone that is participating in yoga, whether they know it or not, they are actually participating in the worship of a Hindu god or several Hindu gods. And there's another part that describes yoga as a union with a god. So when one is trying to use yoga and they say you should relax and do all those things, what you're doing is you're participating in almost like worship of a god, and you're opening up yourself to a demonic spirit. I hope we know that a lot of these gods are demonic spirits. Yes, they are. So yoga is not just a fancy thing that you do when you're relaxing. No, you are actually participating in Hindu god worship, which is bringing you in contact with demons. No matter how sweet you make it, that is what yoga is. I've just given us the definition. Anyone that wants to check it out, go on the internet and type, what is yoga? It will tell you. So it's very dangerous for us. It brings us in contact. If anyone that does, a Christian or not, it brings you in contact with these demonic spirits. Now, if I move on, the fifth thing I want to mention that brings us in contact with demonic spirits is hallucinative drugs. Do you know that anyone that takes drugs, hallucinative drugs, I'm not talking about like medicine that you get from your GP, so let me put a PS on that. I'm talking about drugs, hallucinatory drugs like LSDs, like cocaine, marijuana, some people call it ganja, depends on where you're from. Those things, they do something to the people that take it, and it will bring them in contact with demons. You might say, come on, Pastor Benz, isn't that just biological? Not really. It's not biological. Because do you know what these drugs do? Apart from, so when people in quotes say that they're getting high, it's really doing something to them physically that is opening them up to spirits. Now, what these things do is that, I've written it down here, is that they distort perception of sight and sound, and they produce feelings of detachment, dissociation from the environment and from the self. Now, the way these spirits work is, these spirits want you to give up they want you to be in a state, and it's like yoga as well, where you open your mind up, you open your spirit, and they can now come in and harass that person. So anyone that takes these kind of drugs, what is happening is that those drugs are affecting their metabolism, their brain waves, and it's making them dull, dissociative from reality. And I'm telling you, anyone that takes these drugs, they are going to come in contact with demons. I can guarantee you, they probably don't know it. So it opens them up. So people do this, some people just do it ignorantly. Do you understand? I know people who have taken, in fact, in my university, I can tell you, a long time ago, I had many, many friends. I think God saved me. I was not born again then, but I didn't take drugs because I was just like, man, there's no way I'm going to touch all this stuff. But I had loads of friends who used to take drugs, well, maybe not cocaine because they couldn't afford it, but marijuana, a lot. In fact, my neighbor who lived next door to me, brilliant guy, he was a law student. He smoked more marijuana to the point that it killed him. This guy would be hallucinating. I'd be like, man, what are you doing, man? He'll say, okay, I'm going to stop. He never stopped. In fact, he found himself in detox. And what happened to him? The guy died. This is someone that I knew personally. I knew when this guy came to university, clean, mommy's boy, fresh face cheek. This guy was maybe about 17 years old. Young boy, never, you know, and the people that introduced him to drugs, those guys at some point, they said, man, you're taking this thing too much. You better give it a break. So he surpassed them. That guy was gone. So anyone that takes like marijuana or cocaine, all those things, it actually does something to their mind and it opens them up to these spirits. Now, I'm a research guy. I don't want to just come and tell us today that, okay, don't take drugs. Obviously, we shouldn't. Don't do this. I want to explain to you, if I can, why you shouldn't and the consequences of it. So I'm a guy that I like to understand. Okay, you're saying don't take drugs. Why? Tell me. I'll tell you. Don't do this. Why? The Bible says you shouldn't do it. God says we shouldn't do certain things, not because he wants to cramp our style, if I can use that phrase. It's because he knows these things. Do you understand? So let me give you guys an example. Do you guys know that in some parts of Native America, particularly like with the Native Americans, part of their ritualistic ceremonies involves taking, they would have these pipes, it involves taking drugs. So you'd have, when they begin all these their spiritual ceremonies, they will all be doped out so that they can really ease their minds, and they'll begin to hallucinate. Then they get possessed by devils. Now, do you guys also know that there's another religion that uses it uses drugs as part of getting into the spirit? Do you know how it is where we are in church, we're praying, and maybe we start praying in tongues and the Holy Spirit is upon us and people are just, you know, really worshiping God? The same thing, drugs do that in certain religions. They will take drugs that, you know, so in our own case, we might be singing and dancing. For them, drugs are part of it. And they're not taking drugs because they just want to get high. No, they're taking it so that their minds can be open, so they can have spiritual experiences. Where are these spiritual experiences coming from? The devil. Now, there's one religion as well that's quite popular in the West Indies, and it's called Rastafarianism. So the people who practice the religion are called Rastas. Now, what's Rastafarianism? It's very tied to the Jamaican culture. It's very popular in Bristol. It's popular in London as well. And it dates back to the 1930s. And there was a guy in Ethiopia who kind of like really, really brought it to pass. A guy called Haile Selassie. And he's credited with, you know, being like a really strong proponent of it. Now, when Rastas meet together, the proper Rastafarians, not these ones you have in Brixton that are like British Rastafarians, and that they're not quite with it. I'm talking like proper ones, core, you know, when if you like you're a proper Rasta, they have these things called reasoning sessions. Anybody who is a Rasta will tell you. They have these things called reasoning sessions. They call them spiritual gatherings, but it's called reasoning sessions, man. And what they do in these reasoning sessions is they play music and all that, which is fine, and they use marijuana. So marijuana, they call it ganja, is part of the religious ceremonies of Rastafarism in these reasoning things. And they take these things, and if you look at someone like Bob Marley, that guy was a fantastic singer, but he was a heavy proponent of Rastafarism. I'm not knocking the guy, his music was good, but this guy was a main proponent. And you would see these guys would, in their ceremonies, they will smoke a lot of hemp. They call it Indian hemp, marijuana, loads of it, loads and loads of it. This thing was part of a ceremony, and it would just catapult them into having these spiritual experiences. With who? With God? I don't think so. With devils. So that's one religion that, or that one aspect that does that. So these things have a spiritual connotation. It's not just, oh, someone is strung out on drugs. I'm not talking about those guys, but they have spiritual consequences as well. Now, the sixth one, and I'm going to rush through now. The sixth one is what I call fraternities. So you have things like Freemasonry. You have these lodges. And in some universities, they have them, they call them confraternities. They're very popular in America, but not talking about those ones, talking about the ones that are in England here. They call them fraternities, like Freemasonry. They call them like lodges or clubs. And they'll say, okay, join this club. It's for business purposes, so we can help one another from a business perspective. Just join the club, and they make it seem like, well, it's no big deal at all. It's just a group of guys who want to help each other, so on and so forth. And I remember when I was working outside of Bristol for a long time, I used to stay in an apartment or a couple of days a week. And there was a guy who was there, who was my landlord in quote. I used to rent a room from him. And this guy was, we're just talking. I said, oh, hi, how are you? Slightly older than I am. And we're just chatting. And he said, oh, that it's a friend of his invited him to a dinner party, and he said he should, you know, join with them. I said, what kind of dinner party is that? That must have been really good. And he now said Freemasonry. And I told him, bro, I'm not sure you understood what I was saying. So this guy's like slightly older than me. What part of England is this guy from? So So this guy was saying how that it was just a club. His friend invited him. I said, look, if you join that club that they're asking you to join, you have just been initiated into occultism. Because they won't tell you what's there. They'll just say, oh, join, join, join. But as you get deeper and deeper, you now find out that you're actually dining with the devil himself. So all these lodges, Freemasonry, and all those things, when anybody joins with those things, that person is shaking hands with the devil personally. That's one thing as well. Then the seventh one, which is slightly more popular, is horoscopes and zodiac signs. I'm sure at some point in our life, some of us have flipped open the newspaper and they're like, what year was I born? I'm a Sagittarius or one of those things. And we flip into the newspaper or you go online or you get a magazine and say, what's my star reading for today? And you're like, oh, the day is going to be good. Anyone that practices that or that does that is actually in participation with these demonic spirits. Now, what are zodiac signs? Where did they come from? Now, they came from Babylonian astronomy and it dates back to like the first century BC. So it says that these zodiac signs draw from early Babylonian star catalogs. Now, if you're familiar with Babylon in the Bible, I mean, Google Bible Babylon, the kind of things that God says about Babylon in the Bible, not very complimentary things. Babylon the Great, you'll be destroyed. Babylon, and there was the physical Babylon in the Bible, where King Nebuchadnezzar and all these people lived in those times. And if you look at the Bible and you look at the stories of Nebuchadnezzar, when he said he had Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and do you know what he did in the book of Daniel? The Bible says he called all his astrologers or astrologers, mediums, to come and tell him what his dream was. So what I'm just saying is that in that era, in the Babylonic era, which is documented as well in the Bible, there was a lot of sorcery, witchcraft, name it. It was the height of it. So zodiac signs and all that, they came from that era. Although now it's a bit modernized, they don't tell you all the nitty-gritty, but anybody who's reading stars, it's like you're going to demonic spirits and you're asking the devil himself, tell me what my life is going to be like. That's what it is. So horoscopes, zodiac signs, participating with the devil. Now, I'm sure someone might be saying, oh my goodness, I've done all these things. How am I going to get out of it? We'll see at the end. Nothing to worry about. Now, the eighth thing is this. I have nine things. The eighth thing is what I call, I don't want to sound like I'm over the top. Do you understand what I mean? But I just want to mention some of these things for our knowledge. Do you know that the eighth thing is there are certain dances that one participates in, and I call them occultic dancing. Now, some might say dancing, Pastor Benson, what are you talking about? Do you know that there are certain dances that one dances, and they are actually what I would call ritualistic dancing? Now, there's one dance, this is a bit extreme though. The Native Americans in the United States, they have this thing called the ghost dance. And this ghost dance was where the dancers would, they would be dancing in a particular pattern. And as they were doing that, the way they were actually dancing was part of the ritualistic ceremonies. And as they carried on dancing, 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 they will just be catapulted into having these spiritual experiences. Pastor Benson, are you dancing? Oh yes. Google ghost dance. You don't have to. Do you know, even in some parts of Africa as well, and in Brazil, in Southern America, these things, they have them, and they'll be having these festivals, some of these occultic festivals, and you see them dancing in a particular way, in a particular way, dancing in a particular way. And you're like, well, this dancing is really, really nice. I like the choreography, but no. These dances are actually occultic dancing. And as they're doing those things, what they're doing is that they're invoking these spirits, invoking these spirits, invoking these spirits, invoking these spirits. They get to a point and these spirits just possess them. So we need to be like really, really careful about these things. Now, all these things, I'm not saying we should be going around saying, oh, is this an occultic dance? Is it? No, I'm not saying we should do that. I'm just saying we just need to be aware and not get involved. Do you know that if you go to a nightclub, right? Let me explain something to us. Do you know if you go to a nightclub, I'm not saying anybody should. I remember in the days a long time ago before I was born again, one thing I really loved then, maybe that's why I love music so much. I mean, music, count me in. I was a music collector. I would collect all forms of music. And I remember those days, this was long, long time ago, when we would come to England, yeah, because I used to live in a part of the world, and my friends would take me to a nightclub. And, you know, nightclub, I would go there because, man, I want to, like, really hear the music full throttle. Because obviously when you're in your house, you can't turn out the music too loud. And the music would be like, boo, 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 boo. And then I'd be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But do you know that if you go to a nightclub and you are listening to music, right? And the music, if you notice some, I'm not, you know, we shouldn't go to nightclubs. One thing about nightclub music is this, or raves, is the drumming beat. In fact, the drumming beat and the beat are so heavy that it begins to make your heart palpitate. That's a medical term, I think. So what these things do is that when one goes to a nightclub and those beats are palpitating and it's so loud, it does something to you. It gets your heart and your brain into a particular rhythm. And as those beats are going boom, 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 and they're loud, and it gets your rhythm, your brain into a particular rhythm, at some point in time, even if you're not on drugs, one can go into a state where it's almost like a euphoric state. And that's when the person is dancing and they're gone. That person is in line for in proper connection with demonic spirits. How do I know? Do you know that in Africa and in maybe Southern America, part of the ritualistic worship of some of these demonic spirits is drumming? So you'd have these drums and they'd be like, bam, 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 bam. They're placed in a particular pattern and it's to invoke spirits. So what I'm saying is this. I'm not saying all these things to scare us, but it's good to have knowledge. So the last thing, and I'll now go to, just before I end, the last one is watching occultic films. Now, what do I mean by occultic films? I know a lot of us will not watch films that are, you know, proper devil worship. No, I'm talking about films that everybody watches, except me anyway, and people who know about this. So you have films like Harry Potter. I'm telling you, anyone who invites Harry Potter to their house in form of films, books, whatever, that person is like you're inviting the devil to dinner with you and your kids. And it's so sad that a lot of people just don't know this. And you have Harry Potter this, Harry Potter that. That lady that did that thing is a witch. And anybody who is involved in that thing is just embracing witchcraft. So you might say, hang on, I'm not doing all these practices. I know you're not, but there are certain effects of witchcraft in the life of a person. So many. So that's one. You've got Harry Potter. There's so many of these films. It is interacting with devils. Now, so I've spent quite a lot of time looking encyclopedically through all these things. So we've said these demonic spirits, they try and defile our spirits. They try and get us to participate in things with devils and these spirits so they can parley with us. Now, why do they do these things? They do these things because they want to defile your spirit. They know that they can't possess you as a Christian. They can't do anything they want to do with you. So they will try and defile you. It's like coming to pour poo on a person. They're like, okay, I can't kill you, but I'm going to pour poo on you. And you're defiled in the spirit. How do I know this? Now, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31. It says, do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord. So God himself was saying, look, anybody who participates with these things, it says, not that you may, it says you will be defiled spiritually. Now, you can't see what's happening to your spirit, but these things, they will defile your spirit. They will make you There's so many things that they do to the spirit. If you're a Christian, they can dull, make you just really dull. After a while, you will not have interest in the things of God anymore. Ultimately, to make you backslide. That's it. So they defile our spirit. Now, I'm going to close. So the third thing here is this. What do we do to live above these things? Or if you participated in some of these things, or you know Christians who are participating, what can they do to get out of it? Well, the thing is this. If one realizes that, well, look, I've been doing this thing and it's, you know, it's, Bible says it's defiling and I'm born again. What do? You just stop, simply stop. Don't watch any of those films. Don't participate in any of those things. And when you stop, the Bible calls it repenting. That's the end. You don't have to say any special prayers. You don't have to, you know, do anything as a Christian, as someone that's born again. Just draw the line and say, you know, God, I'm sorry I was doing these things. I didn't know. And that's the end. You don't need any special prayers. You don't need anything like that. And Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 says, and the times of ignorance God has winked at, but now he commands everyone to repent. So it might be that you didn't know. God says, no problem. You didn't know. Just don't do it anymore. So that's what you have to do as a Christian. Stop it. Don't do it anymore. Now, if as a Christian, you're getting harassed in your dreams and all these things, maybe as a result of these things, what you just have to do is just take your stand and just say, well, I'm not involved in this thing anymore. Whatever comes to me in my dream, get out. And that's it. So just stop. And that's the end of the matter as far as God is concerned. And the other thing is, apart from stopping, God wants us to stay away from these things completely, which is part of stopping anyway. And if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friend, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. So God says, apart from stopping, stay away from it. Stay away from it. And that's it. And we're going to stop there tonight. But one thing I want to remind us about is that, in closing, Luke chapter 10, verse 19, it says, I have given you authority to trample over snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. So having said all these things, you have all these demonic spirits doing what they're doing. But the Bible tells us in what we read now in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, that as a born-again believer, God has given you and I the power over the spirits, and there is nothing they can do to harm us. They can try and scare us. They can try and do all these things, but really, they are toothless. If you understand that, Jesus has given you and I the power over them. Do you understand what I mean? So I'm going to stop there for tonight. So the morale of today's encyclopedic review is just to highlight that these things are out there. The devil is alive and well, trying to intercept everybody at every corner. But we shouldn't be bothered about that. I always say less is more. Just we stay away from these things. Leave the devil to keep doing what he's doing, and we focus on God. If the devil shows up at your doorstep or in your dream or whatever, just tell him to get out in Jesus' name. Kick him out. And that's the end of the matter. And you carry on with your life, enjoying God and the presence of God. Let us pray.